20 past 8 on Morning Ireland, our continuing coverage on the sad passing of Albert Reynolds, former Taoiseach, after a lengthy illness. We're joined on the line by the Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, Albert Reynolds's life and times in politics are really almost a generation ago. How do you set his legacy in a contemporary context?
Well, could I first of all just on my own behalf and on behalf of the Fianna Fáil party extend our sincere sympathies to Albert's wife Kathleen and to his entire family, who sustained him throughout a fantastic and very effective and enduring political career, which of course the enduring legacy of which is bringing and assisting and bringing peace to the island of Ireland. And I think hopefully the family will be consoled by that extraordinary legacy, which many perhaps younger people in contemporary Ireland may not recall in terms of my youth, the incredible violence and the daily violence in Northern Ireland that was part of our lives. Albert Reynolds was key to bringing that an end in terms of his work with John Major and others on the Downing Street Declaration, which led to the IRA ceasefire. That legacy of peace and the capacity to broker peace, I think, will be an enduring legacy, and in terms of contemporary Ireland, still obviously has ramifications to present day.
It's a legacy that we also ascribe to his successor, Bertie Ahern, that peace building in Northern Ireland. Perhaps fair to say they both played a huge role. Albert Reynolds, of course, wasn't in office at the time when many of the fruits of that were being realised.
That is correct. I mean, the entire process was a long one, but did require the kind of single-mindedness and determination that Albert Reynolds brought to it, and indeed Bertie Ahern brought to it subsequently. I mean, both had that single-mindedness to bring this to realisation. And I think, as other speakers said earlier on your programme, there weren't too many around at the time who believed it could happen. There were many, many cynics at the time who felt he was going down the wrong route and felt that he was being overly optimistic. But I think the key was the development of a very strong relationship, personal relationship with John Major at the time. And the trust that developed between the two of them, I think, was instrumental in bringing the British-Irish governmental approach to the issue.
And I believe
was key also in terms of his reaching out to both the Republican movement and also to the Loyalist movement. And he had the capacity in his personality to develop that trust between people who, before that, really wouldn't have engaged with Fianna Fáil leaders or indeed Taoiseach from the Republic.
A further question for you, just that capacity to build relationships. You would have been a young Cork South Central TD. You never served in cabinet with him, but when he was in high office, how do you recall him as a member of Leinster House? What was he like as a senior party figure when you would have been very junior?
A very warm personality, very accessible to TDs, no airs and graces, feet firmly on the ground. A very practical man from that perspective, and in some respects different maybe from previous generations in the sense that he was very, very accessible to backbenchers, and they found him very accessible, and a person you could talk very readily with. And there was I didn't get that sense of hierarchy with him. And I was struck, even as a young member of the party, his enthusiasm and his energy. I could never quite get over his capacity to stay up late at night drinking cups of tea when all around him were doing something else at party functions or whatever, and just entertaining people and meeting people who had different issues to discuss with him.
Now,
he had incredible energy, and you know, he did many functions across the country and would be travelling back home in the middle of the night, but he had that capacity really to engage with people and to facilitate them in coming to him. But also, I think we should also remember his broader legacy, and people in contemporary Ireland may not realise he really was the pioneer of the modernisation of telecommunications in this country. At a time when to get a phone could take months, he revolutionised that situation and modernised our telecommunications structure, which was key to subsequent economic development.
And our complaints now about telecommunications would perhaps be paltry compared to those of yesteryear when he was active in politics. But Micheál Martin, we must leave it there. It's 25 minutes past 8.
And it's no harm to remember that this month, 20 years ago, people were being killed by both sides, not only in the north but also on both sides of the Irish Sea. But one of the enduring images that reminded everyone, that showed everyone that we were moving to a different phase in Irish history, was when Albert Reynolds as Taoiseach stood outside government buildings with John Hume, the leader of the SDLP, and Gerry Adams, president of Sinn Féin. And I think at Albert Reynolds' instigation, the three men put their hands together to show us all, literally, in an image, as I forget, that was unforgettable, that times were changing. And one of those men is with us now, Gerry Adams, president of Sinn Féin. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think was his achievement is obvious in terms of the North and peace, but what do you think he brought to it in particular?
Well, first of all, I want to pay tribute to Kathleen and express sympathy to her and to her family and to Albert's family. She was hugely supportive, very, very loyal. And the last time I spoke to both of them, and I'm sorry I didn't get to see Albert more often since he was ill, the sense of love in that family was palpable. What he brought to the process was a straightforwardness, a down-to-earthness. He was also very welcoming. The ability to act when it mattered, I think, is what stands out. And clearly there were big differences and big gaps to be bridged, but the iconic image of himself and John Hume, and, you know, we remember John Hume at this time, Martin Mansra working behind the scenes, but really the person who made the huge difference in there with Albert was Father Alex Reid. He first of all forged a personal relationship, developed that to bring loyalists in to talk to the Irish government at that time and to the Taoiseach at that time.
It was go on.
So I think if I was to remember anything, it would be just his down to earthness.
It was a long and difficult road for everyone concerned, and people were dying all the time before we got to that moment 20 years ago when the IRA declared a ceasefire. Do you remember when you first met him?
Yes, I met him at government buildings. I talked to him on the telephone before that.
When was that?
But the first time we met was a short period of an hour or so in advance of that photo opportunity where myself and John Hume and he met on the steps of government buildings.
It was as late as that. It was 1994, just shortly before the three of you appeared on the steps. That was your first meeting?
Yes, and one has to remember, you see, that Sinn Féin was practically a banned organisation. We were censored from the airwaves. We were treated like pariahs, and our electorate was treated in exactly the same way. The British government were very reluctant participants in the peace process at that time. So were many elements of the Irish establishment. And, you know, it's probably only possible when Albert Reynolds came in as a bit of an outsider and in the sort of the early days of his role as Taoiseach that he was able to turn some of that round.
Gerry Adams, thank you very much for talking to us.
And we're joined by the former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern, Minister for Finance in Albert Reynolds' two brief coalition governments from 2002 to 2004. He, of course, subsequently took over from him as leader of Fianna Fáil. Bertie Ahern, of course, there was much interest at the time in whether or not you would go forward for the nomination as leader of Fianna Fáil after Charlie Haughey's left office.
Yeah, well, first of all, can I just join with others in extending my sympathies to Kathleen and to the seven children and the extended family. Kathleen was so important in Albert's life, and even though when she had ill health herself, she was so close to him and so helpful to him. And I know the family were, for Albert, the family always came first, and he was very close to the family, even though he gave a huge amount of his life to politics, to business and the entertainment business. He I think, was a family man more than anything else. So I think our sympathies and heartfelt sympathies go to the family this morning. Yes, I was elected the same day as Albert in 77. We worked through politics together. We served in governments together. I was in Charlie Haughey's government as Minister of Labour, Minister of Finance, when Albert was in communications and when he was changing the whole face of communications in this country under the board that had been set up at that time by Michael Smurfit and all of the people who were involved in that. And then when he was leader in 92, I continued and was appointed by him as his Minister of Finance and continued in that role after the change of coalition government from the Progressive Democrats to the Labour government. And then I was with him right through the European negotiations and the famous structural funds round, and then into the peace process, which I continued on after his successful work. Particularly, what? I think you should say today, the Downing Street Declaration. I know from many conversations with Albert at the time, the Downing Street Declaration was really the forward to the whole ceasefire and the work afterwards that I continued on in. And I think the Downing Street Declaration, which was December 93, particularly want to mention that today.
When you left office, of course, everyone was saying that your great legacy would be, the striving for peace in Northern Ireland, that nascent peace that was emerging and continues to grow. What sort of role do you think Albert Reynolds had in the building blocks of that prior to your own direct involvement?
Well, I think the Downing Street Declaration, you see, if there hadn't have been a Downing Street Declaration, I don't think there would have been a ceasefire in the first place. Now, that did break down subsequently, but I think that was carefully crafted, and Albert put huge amount of energy and commitment into that, and we know it was helped by many people from both sides of the divide in the north, and no more so than Archbishop Eames, who helped Albert in the drafting of that and put in a huge input into that. And I know Albert was very conscious that if he got that right with John Major, that it could open up a lot of doors and build a lot of progress, which it did, because it was 8 months or 9 months later, almost 20 years to the day now, the 30th of January 94, when the first ceasefire came about. So I think that work was really what allowed us to move things on and to try to work ultimately to get inter-party talks going in the north.
I'll go back to my original question for you, which was, you know, after Charlie Haughey's left office, the challenge, if you like, for the leadership of Fianna Fáil, there was much speculation that you would challenge Albert Reynolds for that position, but you decided in the end not to. Why was that?
Well, I mean, just to keep the history of it right, I was never a candidate.
No, never a formal candidate, but there was considerable speculation.
There was considerable pressure on me to actually run, but I was only in the door in the Department of the Finance. I was following Albert in that job, and I was trying to get ready my first budget, which would have been the budget of 1992. I was only weeks in finance, so I was very honoured and long looked forward to a change from Labour and to get an opportunity to be Minister of Finance, which I wasn't three governments. I was so pleased with that, but also so challenged. It was of no sense to me to become embroiled in a leadership race, and so I was never a candidate, never wanted to be a candidate in it. I said at the time I would like to be a leader at a future date, but not a few weeks after I took over that.
And, yet,
and I worked successfully with Albert and following on in finance. He was very helpful, even though he'd left government at that stage. He was very helpful to me in that period, and then we continued to work into the whole European funding issue, which again was a masterstroke in negotiations with the kind of resources we got on structural funds, cohesion funds, and social funds.
It does seem a relatively paltry sum now, given the amounts of money we routinely talk about in relation to the Irish economy, but he was known as the minister for some billions, whether it was 7 billion or 8 billion, money secured from Europe.
Yeah, and it was, well, I think it was the 8 billion figure was the one he used, and I think we got something like 7.94, because we used to laugh about it. But it was tremendous negotiations, and you know the context of that very briefly was that the old exchange rate mechanism had collapsed, and Norman Lamont's government, which brought down the whole European currency and the narrow band that the ERM as it was known. And, you know, that hit Ireland very hard at the time, and we were anxious to try to get the development of the economy going. We had the start of the roads program that time, and, you know, we were trying to get those kind of resources to try to get down unemployment, to generate activity. And of course, you know, when Albert had two objectives when he was elected, Taoiseach, one was the peace in the north, the second was to revitalize the economy, and a key part of that was to achieve a big grant from Europe over that period so that we could stimulate the economy. And he, being a good businessman and a good tactician, and worked hard within the European system to get those kind of resources, which is what gave that great kick-off right through the 90s to the Irish economy.
We mentioned in our extended report on his life and times there about his candidacy for the presidency against Mary McAleese. How do you assess that period?
Well, Albert, I think, was reluctant to go in it. I did talk to him about it and thought it was a good idea for him to go to it. And a number of candidates came, I think four candidates came into the field. I think if he had been elected, he would have been a good president, but the party so decided to go with Mary McAleese, who I think became a good president. But I mean, I think Albert was happy enough to get on with his own life and his own interests. And well, if he had been elected, he would have been a good president. But in the case, he didn't get the nomination.
Some assessment that your support at the time was ambiguous for him. How do you feel about that?
Well, there were four candidates in the race, if I recall, or it might have been even five, but I think there was at least four. And they were all close friends of mine, all people I knew. And, you know, I think it was clear to the party. Party wanted to win the presidency. I think we would have won it probably with most of the candidates in the field. But, you know, the history, I think somebody said at one stage that maybe if I was stronger in the support, but at the time I think I was strong in support, but I think I was criticised for that at the time.
Bertie Ahern, former Taoiseach, thank you for joining us this morning. The time is 22 minutes to 8 o'clock, considerably later than normal. Brian Jennings is here with a summary of the news.
Thank you, Christopher. We're staying with that story. The former Taoiseach Albert Reynolds has died. He was 81. Born in Rooski in County Roscommon, Mr. Reynolds became a successful businessman and politician. He served as a minister in several government departments and was twice elected Taoiseach. He played an integral part in the early years of the Northern Ireland peace process. He died in the early hours of this morning following a long illness. Mr. Reynolds is survived by his wife Kathleen and seven children. The former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern said he was deeply saddened to hear of the death of Albert Reynolds. The Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin paid tribute to Mr. Reynolds' legacy of peacemaking.
That legacy of peace and the capacity to broker peace, I think, will be his enduring legacy, and in terms of contemporary Ireland, still obviously has ramifications to the present day.
In other news, the White House has said that US Special Forces launched a secret mission earlier this year to try to rescue American hostages held in Syria, including the journalist James Foley, who was killed by Islamic State militants. A Pentagon spokesman said the mission failed because the troops couldn't find Mr. Foley or others and pulled out of Syria after a gun battle with Islamic State fighters. In Britain, police and intelligence services are stepping up their efforts to identify the apparently British Islamist militant who carried out the killing. A video of the killing that was posted online has provoked outrage internationally. A Department of Foreign Affairs official has said that around 30 Irish citizens had gone to fight in Syria and Iraq. Now, the weather forecast, rain and drizzle in the west and north will spread southeastwards this morning and will become more widespread this afternoon. Brighter weather, but with a few showers, will follow from the north in the late afternoon and evening. Highest temperatures will range from 14 to 17 degrees. OT.